This is Toss Talk, where it's all about yard games, having fun, and what it takes to create social entertainment. With your host and creator, Kelvin, on Toss Tunes Radio.
Hey, what's up? And welcome back to another episode of Toss Talk. And today we are playing TrueCast. Yes, this is a fishing game, which is very unique because you don't really see a fishing game as a yard game. What? But if this sounds familiar, we are catching up with Wason from Castaway Games, or formerly known as Castaway Games. We'll get into why he changed his name. However, we're just checking in, seeing where this yard game is at and what the business has been up to. Apparently, he got himself into a retail store. So, all of that and more, let's catch up with TrueCast Games. Wason, what's up? Welcome back to Toss Talk. How you been?
Good to see you, Kelvin. Been great. Thanks for having me on again. Good to catch up. How about you? How you been?
I've been good, man. Just running the business and trying to catch up with everybody in the yard game community.
Yeah, plenty to keep you busy there for sure.
Yeah. So, I had to see what you've been up to. I've been following the account. You changed your business name. How did that come about?
Yeah, that was an interesting change in the past year. We initially launched our product under the logo and brand name Castaway, which I love the name. It seemed to fit the brand well. It's a fit, you know, for those that aren't familiar with our product and our brand, it's a fishing game that you cast a little Velcro lure at a game board and it sticks, and it's designed to teach kids how to fish. So the name Castaway, you know, fit the brand well. We were excited about it. About 6 months into the year, I found another company that sold fishing rods and fishing reels that had a similar logo. And we didn't have any issues or anything, but we felt like it was better to change gears early as we're going to try to build the brand. And we came up with a new design, a new name called TrueCast, TRUCAST, that we pivoted to. And we really are happy with the new logo, the new direction.
Nice. I like it too. Both names fit the brand very well, but this new one, I think it kind of makes it a little more different for you, so in a good way.
Yeah.
Being a fishing game, have you noticed like any other type of fishing games? Because I don't think I've seen one.
Yeah, that was always kind of our strength, I think, coming into the markets, is that it's a unique design and a unique idea. There's no other company out there that has gamified, you know, the casting, the art of casting, fishing and learning how to use your gear. There are some other games that have innovative designs that you cast and reel the object back to you. And there's like the magnetic, you know, really toddler style fishing games. But for like a robust yard game that is designed around the Velcro lure and has dynamic gameplay, we're the first of our kind. So, we just have to execute and get the word out.
That is awesome. Yeah. And it looks very unique. So I'm sure you probably get a lot of people asking questions when you're outside playing it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. It's fun to interact with people. They see us, casting, and I've heard others that have bought the game the same thing. People walk up and say, what am I looking at here? What is this? And you can let them try and cast, and especially, kids, kids ages 4 through 12, they seem to love it. And it's a good way to teach them how to use their gear.
Do you get a really like solid feel with the cast? Like, is it basically just like fishing?
Yeah, you get all the same mechanics. So you can put the board as far out in the field as you want. Obviously the easier target, the closer it is. But what I love about the game, I played sports growing up. I love to play basketball and I still play golf. And a lot of the draw to sports is the endorphin kick you get. Like you hit a jump shot and you see it go through the net. It gives you that little boost of endorphins. And this game, when you land a lure on the board, or like when you are playing cornhole out back in the backyard and you hit a ringer, you get that endorphin kick. The same thing when you're playing TrueCast and you land one on the board, you hear the thud and you see a stick and you get your points racked up. So it's fun.
That's very cool. We spoke probably about over a year ago now. So besides the name change, what else has been going on with the company? Get us up to date.
Yeah, so the biggest change so far, the name change was big. That was a lot of work and energy to get that going. We have a trademark put in for that. But I always felt like there was more to the Velcro Lure and Felt Top Game Board system, and we could expand on that. So we actually rolled out two new versions of the game this past year. The first game is an inflatable wedge. So you can play it on the water. It's a wedge shape that you inflate. It's a little bigger than a cornhole set. But it does take a little while to set up, and it helps out if you have a pump. But it can take a little time to get everything up and running. So I wanted to create something that was quicker and easier to move around and take down and put up. So we redesigned it to where the game pops out like almost like a sunshade in your car. If you can imagine like where you got wire under tension and it kind of like pops out and holds its shape. We redesigned it that way. So actually, I have the prototype right here. I'll show the since we're on camera, might as well use the camera. This is the new foldable set. So it's got this wire under tension. You can fold it up just like you can, the sunshade in a car. But the benefits to that is that it's a lot easier to set up. And then I sell it with like a PVC base. So it lifts it up off the ground about a foot and a half.
Okay.
It's got a good angle for the board. So when you're ready to play, you know, set it up, take it down quicker, pops out. It's a lot smaller to store. And then I also, after we got that one up and running, I wanted to expand on like a satellite target game where you have various targets out in the field. So instead of having a stationary target, like the first two game versions, where you cast, it sticks on the board, you reel it, lure back, and then you recast it at the board. We have a new game that you have six targets that you put out in the field. And as you connect the Velcro lure to the satellite target, the fish, as we call it out in the field, you can reel it back to you. So you actually bring the target back.
Oh, you bring the target back. Is it in that Velcro too, that it hits the target?
Yep. So it's the same design as the first two games where we have these orange Velcro lures. They connect onto the target that's like a felt top out in the field. And then once that you drag them over the top of it, you can reel it back.
Well, then how do you count the points? Is it the points on the target?
Yeah, so there's different sizes in that version. We call it the legendary fish version. So there's six. My high school friend drew the fish artwork. I've always been a huge fan of her art. So that was fun to reconnect with her when we got this up and running. But the targets are six different of the most popular fish species in the U.S. fisheries. So so there's like different. The smaller targets are worth 50, and then we have like bigger, easier targets that are worth smaller points.
Okay. That's very unique and very creative. That's one thing I love about yard games and people that are creating yard games. It's a very creative thing to, you know, put two different things together, mesh them, and then just make it make sense. And I guess you're just really big into fishing. That's why you wanted to create all of this.
Yeah, it wasn't even as much me. I grew up fly fishing. I grew up in Wyoming. So I grew up, I didn't do as much spin casting. I did a lot of fly fishing on rivers and streams. But my son, he's now nine. He was obsessed with fishing from a young age. So part of the catalyst of inventing the first game during the pandemic a couple of years ago was I was trying to keep up with him. He always wanted to get his fishing rod out and practice. And we that's how we came up with the game, you know, the first version. So he's big into it. And I figured that if I had a problem with trying to keep a busy kid that loves to fish, how to help them use their gear, there's others out there. But now he and I fish together often, so we fish as a family, which has been fun.
That's very cool. Oh man, so is that how many products do you have all together? Is that three, or do you have any more?
Yeah, we have three that are like up for sale now and available to purchase. So we have the inflatable version, the first version, the foldable stationary version, and then we have the legendary fish version. I have some units coming right now for a fourth version that I wanted to have. My goal with the fourth version was to have different price points and have consumers be able to get into the brand at a lower price point. So instead of having the legendary fish with like larger targets and six targets, it's going to be just three smaller targets that they can put out in the field and then cast it, connect it, and reel the target back to them. So it's a version of the legendary fish, but it's smaller targets and a few less game boards, and it's going to be about half the price to purchase for instead of the other game boards.
That's good. I mean, it's tough getting to a good price point for customers. I feel like I hear that struggle a lot with different people putting out products. Where are you getting all your stuff manufactured?
So that's been a fun journey. That's probably one of my favorite parts personally about the entrepreneur journey has been the production and design phase and getting like these ideas that I come up with into a tangible version that can be produced in larger quantities. So I've worked with manufacturers in China, and I have four different factories that I work with now. So I have one that produces the tackle boxes that the lures come in, because the game sets are all sold with a tackle box. And then I have a separate factory that produces the Velcro lures. That was the most challenging part of all that was like the linchpin to all the designs, is to find a lure design that allows the Velcro to stick well enough that when it lands, it doesn't bounce off, but also doesn't stick too sticky to where when they try to reel it back, it snaps back at the player. Yeah. It hits you or your friend in the face. So we finally got that dialed in a couple of years ago, and I have a manufacturer that's designing the lures for us. And then I have the team doing the inflatable version of the game, one factory, and then I have another factory doing the foldable wire under tension versions of the game.
Oh, wow. That is that's a lot of moving parts there.
It is. Yeah. Alibaba is where I made a lot of the connections, and my chats in Alibaba are always, there's always something in there going on.
Yeah, I bet. Are these the same manufacturers from when we previously talked, or did you switch or have any different ones?
Yeah, the inflatable version and the lure are the same manufacturer. And then I was able to make contact with a third toy producer that is making all the wire under tension games, the legendary fish version and the foldable version. And they seem, as far as like scalable, I'd love to grow the business. I know you with Tally Tumbler, you know, that's always our goal is to expand and scale. And I was trying to find manufacturers that I felt like when we got up and running and got things in the water, they could grow with us and produce at the quantities that we needed. So I feel like we kind of got all that dialed in. Now we just got to get it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. How is setting up that relationship with them? Did they understand the product, or was it a little bit of a back and forth trying to explain what's going on?
Yeah, you probably know from experience, it sounds like.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, it was 100% back and forth. And it was like, you know, there's a communication barrier a little bit there too, where you're trying to explain really nuanced design concepts through a chat, with somebody in a completely different time zone and different language. So yeah, that was a challenge. But once we got on the same page, I have a few contacts with my factories that I've really learned to trust. And I feel like they understand what we're after, and they're good at communicating on their side, which helps a lot, as you know, as a business owner. Yes. If you have consistent communication with your partners, it makes a big difference.
Yes, that's very true. My manufacturer, luckily, he spoke English and fluent in Chinese. And that translation, I've been on calls with them, and he's just flipping back and forth. And got everything dialed in, but I was like, wow, this guy's amazing.
Give him a raise, right?
Yeah, I know, right? So it's good to have somebody like that, because I've talked to other manufacturers, like, they don't understand anything I'm talking about. Yeah. They're giving me like all these different feedback, and it's a mess.
Yeah, exactly. For those entrepreneurs out there, that communication, and once you find a factor, a business partner that works well with you, it's good to develop those relationships. That's helped me a lot.
Of course. What else has been happening? I hear you may have gotten into a store.
Yeah, that was Q4, a big exciting update for us, is we were able to get in contact with Scheels, which I don't know if they have those in Virginia Beach, but it's an outdoor sporting goods store in the West, Western U.S. Do they have Scheels out there?
We don't have it in Virginia Beach. I don't know if we have it in Virginia, actually, but if you go northern, we have some in like New York, going up to Delaware. But yeah, none here though.
Yeah. So we have one here in Salt Lake City, or out in Sandy, where we're located in Salt Lake City. And it's just a cool store. You know, I love the outdoors, and it was I contacted them in the summer and let them know what we were looking for. We had a new game design that we felt would do well on retail shelves and fit their brand and their customer base really well. And I sent an email off, and I talked to this, the the person that puts the games on the floor or the products on the floor. And he's like, okay, we'll think about it. We'll get back to you. And then I got an email out of the blue a couple months later that said that they were wanted to get a couple games in the store, test them out and see if they might want to bring it in. So that email made my day. It was such a cool experience getting that email. And now we just got them into Shields the last 2 weeks. So I was able to go. My family, you know, my little guy Arlo, who was the catalyst for the game, like we talked about. We all went in together and saw the game on the shelf. And I did the box design. I kind of dialed that up.
Yeah.
The kid, all three of my kids are on the design, like the models playing the game. You know, business owner, I was trying to cut costs, but we used the kids as models. And I think that was exciting for them to see themselves on a store, a game box design in a store. So that was pretty cool.
That is awesome. Congratulations, man. Hearing just from what you've been doing all the way to now, because I did just see like a couple of videos checking out on Instagram, and I was like, wow, you did it, man, getting into a store.
Yeah, it's cool. We'll see where it goes from here. I hope that we can get the concept proven in retail and it goes well in Q4. And if one Shield store, as you know, with your business, if one Shield store likes it, it's proven, and then other retailers hopefully will pick it up. And that's really what one of our big goals in 2024.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. Are you going to be in there for like a limited time, or they just did a purchase order from you? Like, what are some little bit like specifics about what's going on?
They did an initial purchase order of a certain quantity of games, and we don't have anything concrete beyond that. So I think it's more of a understanding. If they go well, it's like a product test, you know, the markets respond well and their customers respond well, hopefully we'll have larger orders. And then they have a program through Shields where if it does well in one Shields location, you can, they have a program to get inventory into other locations across the country. So that is my hope. And then once it's in Shields, maybe like Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, and you know, I heard the good news on Tally Tumbler at Walmart. Congrats on that. Walmart would be amazing. You know, those big retailers like that would be, though it's all like the stepping stones I'm hoping to get to. So,
I just asked because, like, you know, different businesses have, you know, different programs and stuff, and everything's a little bit different with trying to get your product in there. So, it's cool. Yeah. Somebody took a chance and you have opportunity. So hopefully it does well.
It means a lot to me. They definitely took a chance on a new product, and I'm all new to this. You know, we were talking, just get ready for the podcast. I have a 9-to-5. It keeps me plenty busy. So these things are all new steps for me, you know, getting to retail. Yeah. I really didn't have any idea how to do it. I just started making phone calls and sending emails. And even when he emailed me back, the representative from Shields, I had no idea like what next steps there were. So it's been really, I really love that aspect of building a business where you're almost always in new uncharted waters for yourself.
Always.
You're always figuring out something new. And that that was certainly the case with getting it into retail stores. I really didn't know what I was doing.
Well, elaborating on that, since you just kind of went through the experience, what's some advice you would give somebody that's trying to get into a retail store?
Yeah, what worked for me is I made sure that I was dialed in everywhere else. I think it's important before you contact any retailer that you have a polished website, you have good marketing, good brand awareness. That's a big opportunity for us too, but apparently we had just enough to make it work. So step one, make sure your house is in order and everything is ready for that. And then for me, it was just a matter of, you know, making phone calls. I made a couple calls and was able to get names and contacts and, you know, interviews from there. And that's where it developed. And I have a couple that didn't work out and they decided not to put it in. So I think as with entrepreneurship, you're going to get told no a lot. And you're going to have struggles, you're going to have frustrations, you're going to have disappointments, and just be at peace with that and accept that as part of the journey. That will help as you try to get into retail. Don't give up.
That's great advice. Don't give up. There's a lot of rejection, but at the same time, the wins are big and you definitely enjoy them.
Yeah, exactly.
Switching gears, let's get back to the product. I mean, most people probably haven't played your game or even seen your game, but for me, like, I love a bunch of different games. I want to know about your product. What is something specific that you would want your customers to know about your product that, you know, just pulling it out the package, they might not know?
Yeah, I think two things that I hope our product does. It's just like with the yard game community. It's all about connection. Like I designed the game so I can hang out with my family more often and friends more often. So for anybody that either is it into fishing or maybe even folks that want to try fishing, but it's a little intimidating because they don't know, they never cast a fishing pole before. But they're like, you know, it's maybe a hobby or something they want to try out. This is a really good way to introduce yourself to the mechanics of fishing and connecting with your friends and family. That's all about, you know, connection. That's kind of been the heart of our design and business from the beginning, is creating something that brings people together outside. And, you know, if my game is a catalyst for that and a catalyst to introduce people to fishing, those two things are really our goals as a business: connection and making it easier to get into fishing and enhance your fishing by playing the game.
I like that. I do see how it has like all the mechanics and stuff as you were talking about for fishing. And yeah, I could see how it can make somebody want to actually go and do some more fishing, or just, you know, practice and play and have fun and just keep that that lifestyle. There you go. That lifestyle, you know, all together.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the most exciting part when playing TrueCast? Like, what's the nuance in the game that doesn't occur all the time, but when you do it, it's amazing?
Yeah, so the game design has different point zones and the progressively smaller targets. A lot like a dartboard, where you throw the dart, the middle the section's the most valuable, you know, for your scoring. And there's a little, in the instructions, there's a little kicker that if you hit the logo, you get a 100 points. So the logo's a small target in the middle of the center of the board. So if you can cast and you hit the logo, you know, that's a whammy. The stationary games it's pretty tricky. It takes a little practice to get down hitting the board. So even once you hit anywhere on the board, it feels like an accomplishment. Bullseye is the big whammy in the game.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like it would be difficult to kind of like aim and get to the right target. Like you can get to the right area, I mean, but like really dialing it in to like hit a perfect target.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be a little tricky.
It is. Yeah. Even for, I think, people that fish often, it's a good, like, once you get to where you hit the board, which is just the basic starting point, then you have the targets, the different point systems for the pros in there out there to dial in and start landing more points.
Yeah. So I haven't played the game myself, but when you're throwing that lure out there, does it go really fast, or does it kind of like float in the air and kind of land softly, or does it just like get out there really fast? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's different styles, you know, like anything. Okay. Where you got the jump shooters like Steph, he's got the nice arch on a shot, and then you have the shoot like Karl Malone's free throws, just go straight at the rim. The better technique, in my opinion, you play, you know, people can approach it however they want, but it's good to kind of loft it up and have a nice, almost like a free throw. You know, it's got to exceed some mechanics. Like when I was playing it, trying to really get good, if you have a consistent routine, like when you're shooting your free throw on basketball, the same mechanics, you're going to get better. So you kind of get the dial in the arch of it. And then it lands every time.
Looking at them, like, yeah, that makes more sense. But I just didn't know if there was any type of special technique that you're doing that, you know, makes it work a little better.
Yeah, I would recommend for anybody that's struggling just to use like the over the shoulder, you know, consistent motion, and you'll start to hit the board. And then that's when it really gets fun.
Very cool. Yeah. So you said you got your house in order and everything with the business. Are you working on any new type of marketing strategies right now? Like, how are you building brand awareness?
Yeah, that's something we kind of stumbled out of the gate in 2023 as far as marketing on social media. And really, we haven't done much marketing outside of Amazon. That's where we've been selling most of our orders, Amazon, which my 9-to-5 has been keeping me mega busy. And I haven't had as much time as I'd like to dedicate to the business. So we have big goals in 2024. To start marketing more on social media, in particular, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and doing more paid marketing. I'd like to do more events like there's toy game conventions where you can network and meet people. I've got a couple ideas in that way. But I need some help. So one of my goals in the new year is to hire someone or have somebody come on board with me specifically for the marketing side of the business, which I found throughout the process, I really enjoy the creation. Like I've always been into art, creativity, like you were saying, that's always been the joy I've got. The challenge for me has been marketing. So that's where I think if I could bring somebody in that has the knack and understands that more, that could really be a big tailwind for the business.
No, that makes sense. My advice to you would also just be like, reach out to other people in the yard game community. I know I get a lot of questions about marketing. I feel like I'm okay at marketing myself, but there's a lot of nuances. Platforms change all the time. Like you said, I've been lucky enough to, you know, get my product on Amazon. That's built awareness. But I haven't done like a lot of marketing for the Tally Tumbler like I should be doing. And it's doing okay. So it's like, you know, it's hard to get that balance, but I hear you. Everybody's struggling with marketing.
I think that's a great sign for Tally Tumbler though, that you're haven't like put a lot of attention and energy or even finances towards it, but it's still gaining traction and momentum. And you know, for me with this business, you know, as a busy dad, I have a career in finance. You know, this could potentially, you know, the entrepreneur route could be my full time career. But I want to get to a point now. I've launched it. You know, it's been 3 years now, two and a half, 3 years since we first, you know, came out with the design and the product. I want to get to a point where either, you know, I know it's going to work, and I'm like testing it in the markets, and that's where I'm really excited about this retail test to see, do we have a product that's viable. And is it a game that people want and are willing to pay for? So I'm hoping in the next 1 to 2 years to either get to a pretty firm point where I know confidently it's going to be a successful business and it's going to go to the heights that I want it to go to and that I plan, have envisioned and want to take it to. Or is it a good idea, a fun journey, a cool experience to design and build it, but it's ultimately not a viable product, which, you know, that's, I think every, you have to face that reality as a,
you do.
Anybody that's starting out on the journey, because you know it's far from certain. But I'm really proud and excited, and I think you should be too at Tally Tumbler, but probably similar emotions here about where we've got things and the journey we've been on. And you know, I'm excited to see where it goes next.
Yeah, I'm excited for you too. And that's a very true statement. There's always that: is it going to work? Is it not going to work? It's always a risk. But I mean, like I said, it's cool. Somebody took a chance on you, get you in a store. I'm sure you're making a little bit of sales on Amazon and getting some good feedback, hopefully.
Yeah.
So I think it's a cool product. It's a very cool idea. Mm-hmm. And I also think that hopefully you're not ahead of your time, meaning that like later on, like it really starts to catch on and you're the first one, but it's like, where were you guys at when I started?
That's like the fear, right? Is it, you know, somebody comes along and does things a little better than you, or maybe like markets better than you, and then, you know, you miss out. That's a legit fear for an entrepreneur, I think, as it should be, because if, you know, there's smart people out there, if they see it's a viable product and people want to do it, you know, and they have resources and skill sets that maybe you don't have, or, you know, if they're further along than you are, that's a big risk. And,
but I mean, my observation for your game as well would be, there's a lot of outdoor activities. People just love fishing in general.
Yeah.
And I feel like a way for you to get it out there would be, you know, like campgrounds and stuff, like really just, get out there and, you know, maybe send a game to like a summer camp facility or something like that.
Yeah.
That kids played and things like that. So really think it could catch on.
I think that's the route, like educational. We've actually had quite a few orders come in from, you know, educators and, folks running camps like that. We had a big one from, Captain Shearer down in Florida. He bought quite a few games, and he's got a big network of events and games designed to introduce kids to fishing and people.
Yeah.
Fishing. And this is like, the game is just a really nice stepping stone for somebody that's never cast a fishing pole to get the confidence that, hey, this is actually a hobby that I think I can do now, and get to the water and feel like they can go out and hit the targets they need to catch fish.
Exactly. Oh, man. Well, outside of what we've been talking about, what else are you currently excited about coming up for the business?
My biggest thing right now is retail and how that goes. For some reason, marketing just always been a barrier for me. So the thought of grinding out, Instagram and social media posts every week and getting on a schedule while I'm trying to run my 9 to 5, it's just that's daunting. So I feel like if retail is viable, that's a great step where I can line up the manufacturing and get the games to wholesalers. So I'm really excited about that. And just playing the game more, eating it out in the market. Because I need to create more content, which means getting to play the game with friends and family more. So that's a good challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that's always fun, creating content. You're playing the game. So
exactly.
I like that.
The bonus of creating a game is your product. So
yes. I know. I feel the same way too. I'm going to be in that same boat for 2024. I'm making updates to the Tally Tumblr, and awesome. I'm excited just to be out at golf courses, have yard games and stuff with the Tally Tumblr and just playing games and trying to sell some cups. So
it's
a fun thing that we do. So I like that we're in like this fun type of community.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. Very fortunate. And, you and I have kind of been on a similar arc, I think, with our, games and some of the challenges we have. So it's been really cool for me to see you and, we talked about it before the podcast, some other guys out there and other folks that have really cool inventions and ideas and very innovative products to get it from that idea to a tangible item somebody's going to pay you money for, then they feel like it's a good value. That is such an accomplishment. So congrats to you and your team too on Tally Tumblr.
I appreciate it. Congrats to you, man. I just have one more question for you. So as an entrepreneur, what's your favorite hack or productivity thing that you may do that you can give advice for another entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think entrepreneurship to me is about your mindset, and your mindset matters so much in how you react to the eventual roadblocks you're going to have, the setbacks, the disappointments. It's not really a specific productivity hack, but mindfulness has always been a big part of like my journey the last 10 years or so of trying to have a routine where I try to meditate for 10 or 15 minutes a day and just keep your mental space in a positive spot to where you don't get distracted. As you know, with Tally Tumblr, entrepreneurship, there's always 1,000 things you could be doing. So it's all about triaging and finding the most important, valuable next steps for your business. And I think a mindfulness routine has been huge, really beneficial for me in that, and being able to focus on the next steps. And then the other thing I would say, and this is kind of more just general advice that's helped me a lot, is reading. It's a hell of a steep learning curve in my experience, this entrepreneurship journey.
Yeah.
So the more you can learn from others that have been there before you or have good ideas that have built businesses and done things well, that has helped me immensely. There's books I've read like The E-Myth. Forget the author's name. The book's called The E-Myth. It's a classic business book. So
okay.
Mindfulness and reading, in short, Kelvin, would be the two that would help the most.
That is great, especially mindfulness. There's a lot of distractions out there.
Yeah.
And you can go down a rabbit hole that you really didn't need to go down. Trying to stay focused on the important task is priority. That's a great answer. I love that.
Thanks.
Oh, man. Well, that's all I got for you. It was a nice catching up. I wish you the best, and I will be in touch because I really want to know how it goes in Shields, and hopefully gets pushed out even more.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity, man. It's great to catch up with you. Enjoyed hearing your updates on Tally Tumblr too. Best of luck, and here's to both businesses continue to thrive and getting our games out in the water. So,
yes, all right, man.
All right, thank you. Take care.
That was Wason, owner and operator of the yard game company TrueCast. Yes, links are in the show notes. If you know somebody who likes to fish or who wants to get into it, check it out. Share it with them. they might really enjoy this product. And that's all I got for you guys. I have a lot more coming up. Links are in the show notes if you want to reach out to me directly. But I please ask that you like and share if you enjoyed this episode. And I'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.